Yo, Vegas lights shine bright, bad boys sitting pretty. Michael, Steve, Rob running things in Sin City. Podcast blazing truth, rhyming hard and witty. Three kings on the mic, Vegas life gets gritty. Matt Michaels dropping bombs, quick wit, no filter. Sin City's own, blending gold with the silver. Steve taking notes, every word's a thriller. Rob's on the tracks, beats cold like a chiller. Bad boys a podcast, raw truth they broadcast. Speaking facts so fast, haters coming dead last. Las Vegas legends, three amigos, top class. Mic in hand. Setting fire, never outclassed.
Welcome everybody to the Vegas Bad Boys podcast. I am Sin City Steve, being joined as always by Rob Bossolari at Vegas Trump Guy. Rob, how are you, brother?
I'm hanging in there.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's it feels like as if we just did this shit not too long ago, but we're back at it tonight. I want to say thank you to everybody for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you for joining us on YouTube, on Facebook, and on Twitch.
And Instagram.
And so if you're on any of those platforms, feel free to blast your comments and your thoughts into the chat. We'll get your thoughts put on here onto the air. And without any further ado, let's just dive in, because even though we did a show last Wednesday, this past weekend, there was a lot to cover in the world of pro wrestling. So actually, we'll start it off first being kind of close to home. And let's talk a bit about FSW Future Stars of Wrestling, one of the big shows for FSW. Coming to you live on January the 24th at 7 p.m. from the HyperX Arena at the Luxor, live on the Las Vegas Strip. Rob, you were in attendance. Give me your thoughts.
I got to see the majority of the matches. I think I just missed the first one. But I want to get right into it and say thank you so much for Kenny King for entertaining the people of Las Vegas for 20 years.
Absolutely.
TNA. FSW, absolutely amazing performance against G-Sharp, which ended up becoming a tag team match. And we got to see Kenny King, the King of the Night, the King of Las Vegas, one last time before he moves to the city of Austin. So wherever your travels may take you, I hope you're still able to perform in ring. But thank you so much for doing so much. It was awesome. I don't know if you got the picture, but I was also able to meet Chris Bay, the commissioner, the new commissioner of FSW. He's incredibly welcoming. I would like to see him be able to perform in some capacity, but the fact that he's up and moving, looking, you know, all beefed up, God bless you, man. We always, you know, wish for even better for you in your recovery, but I'm so glad you're at least able to still participate. And you know, that doesn't happen without Joe DeFalco making that happen. So we're talking about upstanding people. The 8-man tag match and the scramble match, just great performance in ring, great high flying and technical ability. The title versus title match. So Leo taking the whole damn thing, just amazing. Performances, and I think the mariachis did not expect that at all. You have to say, like, some of the guys I don't get to watch this as much as I should, and so you're literally seeing it for the first time. And with FSW, it's like any other promotion that's televised. They have their storylines going, and for many people, you're catching it for the first time in person. So you're learning a whole backstory immediately. And the only thing I will say to Joe DeFalco is, and this would allow you to get a little bit more production value out of it, is if you can find a way to do some vignettes beforehand. The one thing I hate about wrestling is the 2-minute long vignettes between every match, but sometimes they are shoot mariachis. I wasn't sure. I'm with Matt Michaels actually, and he's looking good. I got to be there with Matt Michaels And he told me, yeah, these guys are mariachis and they're playing over the CD or whatever the hell's playing in the background, the track. So I wasn't sure. I'm like, are these guys really mariachis? But they had the right guitars. And he's like, nah, man, they're real. And also shout out to Matt Michaels, crazy outfit. I should have taken a picture of it, but his skeleton blazer over the Vegas Bad Boys of podcast shirt.
Nice. Hell yeah, man. And also want to give a shout out to our boy, the Bionic Scoop. He's here every week, hangs out with us, contributes quite a bit every single week to the show. One of the best photographers in professional wrestling, not just in Las Vegas, but anywhere that you are applying your craft. Yeah, Scoop, he captures greatness every single week, man. So shout outs to you, sir. And just another one of those team members that is making FSW run. And realistically, running a show on the Vegas Strip, that's massive, man. That's so huge for FSW. And rumor has it, they absolutely crushed it. So look for return visits to the HyperX Arena at the Luxor.
I absolutely love the room. I love the entrances. That the tunnel is amazing that they're going through. It's such an amazing production. It is very polished, to say the
absolutely.
Least.
Absolutely.
And the drinks are not insanely priced.
I've got the image up right now. If you're listening to the show, obviously you can't see it, but the production is exquisite. I was unfortunately unable to show up there. I was working my shoot job. So hopefully.
Shoot job.
Hey, man. So that's what we got to do sometimes. But, you know, I really do want to make it to the next show at the HyperX because good things are afoot for sure for FSW. All right. Turning over to. Let's talk a bit about WWE programming first. And I know we want to talk about Saturday Night's Main Event. I know we want to talk about Raw. I get that. But we got to go in chronological order just because some things got set up. So let's start with SmackDown. And Rob, what stood out to you from SmackDown this week?
You know, we're seeing it again. Let's go with the tag stuff. If they don't pull the trigger and do something drastic with a lot of these guys, I mean, Carmelo Hayes is wrestling banger matches. Great. I don't give a crap about Damian Priest. He could set himself on fire like Cody did and go through tables. I just don't care against Trick Williams. It's, you know, great throwaway match. You've got my favorite, which I will still drink Jade Cargill's bathwater, but, she's got to be more dynamic. So again, going up against Chelsea Green, it's a face against a super bitch heel persona. I can only go so far, but the tag stuff to me is a little stale. I don't know how you feel about that with these two factions.
Yeah. You know, first things first, you mentioned Carmelo Hayes. He did retain his US championship in an open challenge match against Ilya. Yeah, thanks to The Miz interfering. And, you know, you got to love, and I think it was Donovan Dijak that actually tweeted it out, how the sell that Ilya gave to the Codebreaker type move that he was hit with was awesome. Doing a, you know, full on going for a flip with that. That was pretty awesome. Elsewhere on the show, you know, you mentioned the tag team division, and we do crown some new tag team champions as the MFTs come away with the gold, defeating the Wyatt Six. You know, I think that this allows them to kind of push reset on this tag division because, yeah, man, it's mired in mediocrity right now. It is not great. And this match was a microcosm of that division currently. I was not a huge fan of this match, to say the least. And hopefully things can just go up from here and things can just get better from here. Because, yeah, tag team division currently in WWE is dead. Absolutely dead.
And I can hardly remember who has the belts on the Raw side. I have to think about it. I have to really strain my brain to think about it. Oh, yeah, that's right. It's the Usos and Jimmy Zelf on personal business.
Right.
I'm not happy about it because I never cared. It's just a clusterfuck of people versus a clusterfuck of people. Yeah. Now, these guys are going to hold on to it forever and a day. You're going to have a bunch of people going, I can do it with our combined energy and love and the love of the children. We can overcome. And then they're going to get completely outnumbered because it's a 5-2 scenario. You know, maybe some luchadors will break it up. I don't really care. The MFTs are a drier, less entertaining version of the original Bloodline.
Yeah.
What we're looking at are members of the Guerrillas of Destiny, and it's basically a faction of people that hail from New Japan Pro Wrestling, and they're all Bullet Club people. And I'm going to go on a long tangent, but everything that's involved with the Bullet Club is now shit across all promotions. Anyone that was in Bullet Club now is a shell of themselves. All of them. All of them. They're past their prime. Hikuleo is boring. He's a tall guy. Guerrillas of Destiny are boring. Jeff Cobb is sitting there. He's a henchman now. He's a henchman. I'm not scared of him. They don't even call him Jeff Cobb. They call him JC.
Yeah.
Because I guess...
Couldn't even let him have Jeff Cobb.
Yeah. And it's boring. And it's going to be a boring title run. Because if you're chasing or you're owning. And if you own, it's boring.
Bro, I got to appreciate your optimism. Jesus. Oh, man. Anything else that you can think of from SmackDown before we start talking about Saturday night's main event?
Yeah. You guys were going apeshit for Julia. How'd that go?
Yeah.
Oh, Julia. Yeah. Oh, look at that. Oh, it's Julia. Another person. And she's half Italian. She's still screaming, doing the I'm a screaming Japanese lunatic thing, which is Asuka's gimmick, really. So all you're doing is a watered down Asuka.
Yeah. And you'll notice too, obviously, it's very interesting that they're choosing to spotlight Kiana James. Obviously drawing attention to the fact of single-handedly putting her over, not just in the match, but also in commentary. So obviously they're looking at setting something up for her. It's really interesting. And call that's her what probably she, the best way that I can put that.
Call it what she really is. It's Karen James. She's doing she has the same gimmick as Chelsea Green, but with none of the charisma.
Yeah.
And for her to be the, you know, the person on the sideline who shouldn't be getting hurt, she's got the big, gigantic leg brace on. She's even when she's doing spots where she's just as a ring valet, it's just awkward. And you know what? WWE can learn from AEW. Maybe you have a male or TNA, have a male ring valet for some of these women.
Yeah. And you know, it's very interesting. Because, and we'll talk about it. Actually, we mentioned it last week. Possibly Evil making his way to WWE. I could see them actually putting him with Io and realistically putting him and essentially starting him out as a valet for Io Sky. That's definitely one avenue that they can go.
For that to happen, you have to have them lose their tag belts.
That is... I mean, dude, that's only a matter of time until that happens. Whenever they do any of these makeshift tag teams with two high profile stars, it's you can read the writing on the wall, my friend. You know something's gonna happen. Something is gonna get between them, and things are gonna go extremely off kilter, and you're gonna be looking at a major feud. Realistically, you could have, you could set something up for Mania season. I know that obviously they, you know, they just got the titles not too long ago. I get that. If you're wanting to build a division around them, cool. But, you know, there are things that they could do to spiral these championships off onto a different team and also run another storyline and fill content.
My I will forever remain on this. When SmackDown came out in 2000, there were two shows, one champion, one tag team. I don't give two shits about the World Heavyweight belt. It should be, you should elevate the Intercontinental belt, which is what Gunther did.
Yeah.
And I don't care that Fragile Phil is a champion. It just doesn't hold any. Drew McIntyre is good because he's going there kicking the shit out of people. I like this Drew McIntyre. He's not.
We'll get to that here in just a second.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
Yeah,
thank God for him.
You know what? Fuck it. Let's just go. Let's talk about Saturday night's main event. Realistically, I went into this show with virtually no expectations, and I was pretty much floored. Probably within my memory, one of, if not the best, Saturday night's main event shows that they've done in recent memory from top to bottom. You know, if you look at it, the brawl at the start of the show, obviously keeps things hot. And dude, it wasn't like it was just a short, you know, pull apart. They brawled for over 15 minutes. And let's just segue and talk about it. You mentioned Drew McIntyre. They were trying everything that they could to get these guys separated. They had the entire security team out there. They were all getting their asses beat by both of these guys. But who breaks them up? Who lays both of them out? And who puts them in their places? Your WWE champion, Drew McIntyre. Fucking hell yes. This is exactly how you book him. You make him look like a complete badass, and you don't have him cower from anybody. You have him beat both of their asses, period. Expertly done.
And you know what? He looks savage in the ring. He looks absolutely unhinged. That's what I want. Usually what they do is they go, oh, I'm the heel champion. Now I don't want to lose this belt, so I'm going to hide in a corner. And it works sometimes. Like MJF will do that.
Exactly.
Good. MJF could do that. He comes out in the suits. He looks dainty. He'll wait until the actual match to do his Ric Flair stuff. McIntyre can't be that kind of heel. He has to be an engaging heel. We don't get a lot of engaging heels who meet their challenges head on. This is almost like the fighting champion, but a heel version of that. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, elsewhere on this show, man, essentially the Cody and Jacob Fatu match, no contest, thrown out. Dude, I'm going to skip over that women's tag match. I got to talk about this AJ and Nakamura match, man. Holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
These guys, they did a January 4th Tokyo Dome show match. Not on January 4th, not in the Tokyo Dome. This was a fucking great match. Arguably one of the better matches that I've seen from WWE in years. In terms of match quality, in terms of the drama, they played up to their history. Obviously, both of these guys, they have a storied past with one another. Here we go. So starting off, you have AJ come to the ring wearing a mask, and the first time that he does it in his career was at the Tokyo Dome 10 years ago against Shinsuke Nakamura. And you know what, Rob? I got to give props to Michael Cole, and I got to give props to TKO because they actually said that shit. They name dropped everything. They didn't hold anything back. It was glorious. That is the type of shit that you need if you're going to be objective when it comes to wrestling history across the board. Back and forth match.
But also the thing with New Japan Pro Wrestling is they'll have finisher, three in a row. Yeah. Finisher countered by finisher, phenomenal forearm countered by a landslide. From, you know, that's the kind of fast-paced New Japan Pro Wrestling style. WWE would do a finisher, drag it out, go to another one, drag it out. No, this was in a New Japan style of engagement. Would you not agree?
Absolutely agreed. I mean, everything from the pacing to, let's call it what it is, the strong style that was used. There were a couple of really snug shots, specifically one knee shot that Shinsuke Nakamura took to the chops, brother. They were laying them in. This was chef's kiss.
Well, I have a question for you.
Yes.
I have a question for you now. This is where my head starts. I start to scratch my head. This was a good match. Fine. Why isn't this the norm in WWE with the talent that they have? Why is it that you've got, outside of Drew with the belt, of their you know, title holders, everybody else is stale and dry and pasty and boring. So why are the good matches limited? And if this is a New Japan strong style match with that kind of pacing, then why isn't that something they can just look? You're going to get it out of Carmelo Hayes, but there's nothing backing it. There's no personality to the guy. There's no catchphrases. Carmelo don't miss it, fine, but there's nothing else there. They need to find a way to bring it together. They have all of the pieces there. It's almost like they don't want to finish the puzzle.
Yeah, it's, you know, the thing that I have to say is WWE's style is one that is focused on what generates dollars and cents, what is applicable for years upon years of a wrestler's career. So they choose to focus on moments, not necessarily on moves. There's definitely a lot to be said for both camps as far as which make the lasting impression. Personally, I love the hot spots. I love, you know, the high spots, I should say. WWE's matches, you know, they tend to, as of late, I don't want to say bore me, but they do tend to ruin my immersion. I think that it's when
right
you,
now. Is caked on coffee. The reason why there's caked on coffee in here is because I was falling asleep during Raw. Sorry.
No, you're
I just saw it in my periphery and I'm like, wait a minute. A great example.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I think that what you see with WWE is you will see fewer risks being taken because they're looking at long-term investment. So obviously they're beholden to shareholders. They are in the business of making money at the end of the day. So if you have a roster full of guys that go out there and legitimately beat the shit out of each other every night, that's not going to last for long. You know, there's only so much punishment that the human body can take at regular intervals over time.
What does WWE do? They build up a story. They have a pay-per-view. Then the hero goes, all right, I put that guy behind me. And then they run it back, and they do the same match, but they elevate it a little bit. You have so much talent that if you put more people into the rotation, instead of having the same babyface and heel go at it for two pay-per-views straight, maybe you would get more matches like this.
Buddy.
And I don't know why. Like, again, Shinsuke Nakamura might be saying, I don't want to go on a long, I don't want to be traveling. Maybe they're going, I don't want to travel right now. So I just put me in here and there, sprinkle me in here and there. I'm not ready to do it. Fine. You've got deep pockets. You do. And you've got a lot of people. Now we're seeing Jordan Grace being brought up. Cool. Start using these fucking people. Start using them the right way and then drop them off. Go back, drop it off. Go back, drop it off.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, man. You know, it's just to put a button in this. I think that this match does give some credence to the fact that, and we'll talk about it here in just a minute, we just might be seeing AJ Styles' final match at the Royal Rumble. Say what you will. But they definitely played up that this was their final showdown. I didn't catch Raw tonight, so obviously we'll talk about that here in just a minute. But in terms of how things came across, you know, it's looking pretty interesting as we get into the Rumble, for sure, because there are a lot of questions for sure. Right here, as you see on the screen, again, they did duplicate the pose from Wrestle Kingdom from 10 years ago, and after their iconic match there. And both guys obviously left New Japan to go to WWE. But did you have anything to throw in about this match, Rob?
I don't care about Sami Zayn winning a Fatal 4-Way.
Okay.
I don't care because they're pandering to the audience in Riyadh. And that's it. He's not going to win. He's not going to have any fucking moment. God help you if you put that belt on that idiot. Because even when he, again, he's another chaser. What did I complain about with Drew McIntyre? He's a chaser. So what is Drew McIntyre doing now? He is still acting with the same hunger as if he doesn't have the belt. Holy yeah. Shit, somebody learned. When you give Sami Zayn the belt, even when he tries to act like he's gets it, he's angry and he's boring.
Yeah.
He's just boring. The funniest he was his buildup with the where it was his comedic
with the bloodline
participation in the bloodline. That's the only time he was relevant as of late. And honestly, I would not mind if they did the full reset on him, cut his hair and have him come out like he did 10 years ago and almost just reset him. Make him take a couple of pay-per-views off, have him come back, complete reset, not the bum look, and have him come back, if at all possible, maybe with Kevin Owens, either in some sort of capacity where Kevin Owens comes out as a manager but at the very least reset him. Reset Absolutely. Him and make him either a smug, I'm better than you kind of heel, or just make him a baby face that I could get behind. But the bum baby face, I don't like it. Yeah. I know chicks dig beards right now, and that's why you've got that thing on your face, man. But shit. You know?
Yeah, exactly, man. I totally get you there. You know, I think the thing that stood out to me out of this match, out of this four-way, was honestly just how over with the fucking crowd that Trick Williams was, man. Like you mentioned earlier, how Jordan Grace has been thrust into that title division. Trick is in the main event. He is going to be in that scene for a while if the rumors are true. And if the crowd response from this show was any indication, dude,
Here's the thing.
And whoop that Trick louder than almost anything on that show.
Trick Williams has a persona and he's got ability.
Yep.
There's a white guy I know with persona and ability.
Yep.
His name is LA Knight. For whatever the reason. No. I don't know. And there was another guy who was over when he came over to the main roster, and he said, "Bask in my glory," and we were like, "Oh God, gone."
Hey man, you got to watch out for those bear cats, man.
Yeah, what the? You know.
Yeah.
I don't know. There is an expiration date on any wrestler when the crowd is in them. And WWE waits too fucking long. AEW does kind of what I'm suggesting, which is they do shoot through feuds quickly. And sometimes people get lost in the shuffle, but you do get a chance to see your guy and to get behind him. And AEW will respond in kind and put them over. They don't waste time on that, at least in my opinion. AEW does not waste time putting a couple of rockets on a guy. They just don't promote their fucking show well.
Yeah, no kidding.
But they know what to do with the talent that they have.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, obviously we did kind of gloss over the women's tag match here, but obviously Rhea Ripley and Io Sky successfully defending those championships against the Judgment Day, Liv and Roxanne. You know, can't have Liv taking too much punishment in that match because she's got to be well rested for Saturday so that she can win the Rumble, right? That's something that's interesting. Is obviously, you know, we got a Royal Rumble coming up in about a week, but before we get there, we got to finish. I thought that was
this Saturday.
What's that?
I thought that the Royal Rumble was this Saturday.
It is this coming Saturday. You are correct.
Yes. Okay.
You are correct. Let's talk about tonight's episode of Monday Night Raw. And Rob, I'm going to be completely reliant on you on this one.
All right. Okay.
I need you to tell me what happened.
All right. So we had, let's do the Adam Pearce thing first. Adam Pearce, they accused him of throwing his hands on Braun Breaker. And all he did was he grabbed him by the shoulders and flipped him around and said, stop this. That's not putting your hands on anyone, but that's the gimmick that they're going with. So Adam Pearce's answer was, not only Braun are you reinstated, and not only are you in the Royal Rumble, but we're putting all four members of the Vision in the Royal Rumble, with the idea being that they're all going to fight amongst themselves, right, which they invariably will.
They will. Yeah.
They will take out some other people, but they will go after each other. Gunther did a little video address with Adam Cole, with Michael Cole, and which he did a big shitty grin on his face. This is wonderful. I retire another one. This is great. Nothing much to be said there. Nothing much really more than that is they want to make him the new Randy Orton, but Randy Orton just got out and did it. So, yeah, whatever. AJ Styles came out in powder blue ring gear. Why do I mention the ring gear all the time? Because I'm of the camp that your ring gear will determine what the fuck the match is going to be. So he came out and he had a banger and he exchanged many blows, many spots with CM Punk. And it looked like he had all the potential to win. But the entire night was set up with CM Punk peppering Finn Balor with compliments. Finn Balor walks up to him. He goes, you put me over and you made me look good. And I like that. Me like it very much. I don't know. What accent is that? And he goes, well, look, man, I don't give title shots to those who deserve it. I give it to those people who earn it. You earned the title shot. You have the ability. You're one of the best people left. Just get the hell out of the get out of the Judgment Day. Get away from scumbags like Dominic Mysterio. So he goes, hey, yeah. Boy, it could be a vice again. Boy. And then he walks away. He turns around and there's Liv Morgan going, really? I heard that. You know, we're the people who backed you. We're the people who supported you. We're the ones who told you to go and fight and get that belt. We're the ones who did that. Now you're going to screw us over? So they're fighting their match, and whoop. Oh, and by the way, why were they fighting the match? Because CM Punk said to, you know, AJ Styles, why would you do this with Gunther? You may never get another opportunity. At least you can go out as champion, and we'll have the match tonight. Great. They have the match, and it's interrupted by Prince Devitt himself. Gets out there. The Demon Prince fucking Judgment Day prick comes out there and ruins the match.
Of course.
And it was a quality match similar to the quality of what you saw on Saturday Night Main Event. It was a memorable match, but because it was interrupted in the way it was, it just deflated the whole room.
Oh.
It was a very just... But you said it a mile away.
Yeah.
A mile away did we see that that he was going to go and do that. You finally get an answer from Natalya, and it was the most bland, boring. I warned her. I'm a legend. You thought that you could fight at the level of a legend? Once I'm done with you, I'm going to go after Becky Lynch and take my belt. This is my, going to be my belt. Once I'm done with you, Boring. Fucking boring. She could have addressed the inadequacies in the ring. Maybe, I hope they do that. I hope they roll the footage of the two matches that she had and said, what, I taught you more than just an ankle block. And what do? You keep locking her up at the ring rope where your opponents can get away. So you're going to pay for not learning. That's, she should have been more succinct and clarify. Instead of just being, oh, you're sloppy in the ring. Oh, you thought you were at my level. Okay? Now, I hope that Maxine could come out there and I would give her a zinger and said, wow, I'm getting lectures from a washed up bitch from 10 years ago when your fucking belt had a butterfly on it, okay? That's what they thought of you back then. That's exactly what I would say. I would make fun of the divas. I would go at her for being a diva, and that would be the best promo she could cut. As for your fatal four-way, you had Rio Bravo and, you know, other white, you know, Mexican latte versus the New Day. You saw the New Day getting their hair cut at the beginning of the show by, Grayson Waller was, you know, cutting Xavier Woods' hair, and he was just waving buzzers around. He wasn't anywhere near his scalp. He lifted his dreadlocks and he was just kind of waving a buzzer around. And then they are the New Day getting their hair cut by Grayson Waller. And he's going like this. I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. You see the Creed brothers, you know, they're not winning shit. No. Let's be honest. They're not going anywhere. No. They are donezo. They're that look of just, yeah, Brutus is smiling. The other one goes, yo, man, where my checks at? They have a couple of spots. He does his little cannonball senton type move. The New Day do a couple of their classic spots. The luchadors are, you know, the Americanos look good in the ring. But who comes out with a big, gigantic senton? Is Tozawa.
Tajiri.
Yeah, I was in it again. I caught myself. I'm. You know what? If he keeps fighting the way he does, I might remember his name on the first try.
I doubt it.
No, they did an excellent job. It's going to be Alpha Academy versus the New Day, versus the Usos, and I corrected myself again. They're going to lose. The Usos are going to win, but they're going to make it entertaining. Now, is it going to put the Alpha Academy on the map? The only way that happens is if Chad Gable shows up, which I don't know if he does. I don't know if he just, you know, relinquishes his, you know, Grande Americano thing, or, you know, or if he just goes, you know what, I see the error of my ways. And without me, the Creed brothers, you were losers. And now I see you guys are in limelight. Maybe I go and reform the Alpha Academy. And he could do that. He could do that. And they could reject him. But he needs to re-inject himself and involve himself with all four of these people.
Yeah.
Because he does need to address that. And at the same time, he also needs to come back and show up and interrupt wearing a Grande Americano, you know, outfit. So there's so much you could do with him. But with those two guys, it's, again, a filler match. Riyadh is, unfortunately, for filler matches.
Yep, it's that's how it's always been. But
and a bunch of, and this weekend it'll be a bunch of women in ridiculously slutty leather dominatrix outfits, which defeats the whole fucking modesty. Why? Don't even have the women wrestle there. Just don't even bother. I would be annoyed if, what's the point? It's going to be a bunch of Middle Eastern dudes going home jerking off to chicks in rubber suits. Yeah, this is easier to clean up after one of those bukkakis.
Yeah, exactly. Easy cleanup, man.
It's stupid.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
Yeah.
But,
you know, speaking of erecting things, here is what's happened over the last month. January 5th. Yes, three weeks ago. It was a vacant lot. January 15th. Somehow in 10 days, they build up the arena. And as of January 25th, everything is a go. They built this fucking arena from scratch in three weeks. That's insane.
If you look at the January 15th picture, this looks so sketchy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. That looks so fucking sketchy. Like, this is what it is. It is good enough for a day. It looks like somebody took a bunch of high school steel steps and just stacked them on top of each other. This does not look safe at all.
Not at all. Does not look safe whatsoever. But in any event, man, we're here. It is the Riyadh Royal Rumble coming to you live on Saturday afternoon. Here over on the West Coast, it's actually going to start at 11 a.m. Saturday morning.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Don't drink Friday night.
Rob, without any further ado, because everybody wants to chime in and talk about what they think is going to happen. Let's throw out some predictions, shall we?
Yeah, let's do that. What do you got? You started off and I'll...
All right, man. So first things first, AJ Styles versus Gunther. We've talked about it quite a bit on this show already. And it is the career-threatening match. So if Styles loses, his career is over. And if you would have asked me, if you would have asked me 3 weeks ago if I thought AJ Styles was winning this match, I would say absolutely. But if you ask me again after Saturday night's main event, and from what you were saying with Raw, I think Gunther wins this match, and AJ's final match occurs at the Royal Rumble, which ironically enough was where he debuted just so many years ago.
10 years ago. 10 years. It's completely well-rounded. It's a complete story. It gives Gunther something else to hang his hat on. I hope after this he goes, oh, geez, I should retire CM Punk next. Please go after CM Punk next. Please go after CM Punk next.
I'd be down to see that.
Yeah, it's very likely. I would like to see AJ Styles show up with Will Ospreay at fucking AEW 3 months down the line. I would shoot ropes for that. Please, AJ, do it. You want to win a belt? Go win a belt over there. They need you. You versus Kenny Omega. You versus MJF. You versus, God.
Dude.
And you know insane. What? Remember what I was saying last week? I thought the Bang Bang Gang was gone.
Mm-mm.
They're not. They're still around, which means that's technically Bullet Club. It's Bullet Club adjacent. All of the members are still there. And they said that Billy Gunn is a member now.
Bro, the thing that gets me is the fact that, and you know, we may discuss it, but Bullet Club is dead. The trademark itself, the person who created it, he said that he received a call from New Japan Pro Wrestling telling him it was done. So realistically, if you're Tony Khan, why don't you just buy the fucking trademark at this point and just bring the Bullet Club to AEW?
You don't even have to do that. They're already there. You just have.
But that's what I'm saying. Is bring the actual name of the faction.
All you need is Jay White to just show up and go, "We're Bullet Club Gold," and not even Bullet Club Gold. Just say we're Bullet Club.
Yep.
We're Bullet Club, and you've got Ace Austin, which is Bullet Club. You've got Billy Gunn and Austin Gunn, which are Bullet Club, and that's a tag team right there. The double Austins. You've got. The only thing is that
Juice Robinson.
Juice Robinson, he's injured, so he's still fine. Not to mention
the Switchblade when he came out for Tanahashi's retirement ceremony. He looked like he could be getting back into the ring at any time. So,
oh my God, you've got Kenny Omega there at any time. You could pull a trigger. Uh-huh. The Young Bucks, you could pull a trigger with them. And guess what you call them? Not Bullet Club Gold. You call them Bullet Club Elite.
There you go.
Oh, and then you have Bullet Club Elite fighting the Don Callis family.
Yep. Everybody's fighting the Don Callis family, but you know what? We gotta get back on talking about these predictions.
Yeah, so, that's more exciting than this.
So we're both saying that Gunther's going over AJ.
Yeah, more than likely.
Because remember,
he vacated the tag titles. He's got nothing left. And that match with Shinsuke Nakamura was like a send-off, a positive send-off match. So he's gone.
Yeah, absolutely. So elsewhere, the other singles match that's been announced is Drew McIntyre versus Sami Zayn. And I hate to say it, but I think we're agreeing on this one again. There ain't no way in hell that Drew's dropping the title.
Hummus. He's going to smear Sami Zayn all over the mat like hummus.
Yeah.
He will get a couple of good Huluva kicks. He'll get a Blue Thunder Bomb where everyone thinks, oh, God. And then nothing.
Yep.
Flattened. And I want it to be clean. I want Drew McIntyre to cleanly just decimate this prick. Put it down cleanly. He needs to have clean wins. No nut shots. I just want him to fucking brutalize this guy and then bury him. I want to see Sami Zayn just disappear for a while.
Hey, I'd be okay with that, man. From there, let's pivot and let's talk about the Women's Royal Rumble match. Obviously we had our prediction show at the beginning of this year. And we talked about who we thought would win the Rumble. Obviously some time has passed and some things have changed. What say you, Rob, who do you got winning the Rumble for the women? Let's start there. And just as a heads up, there have been 17 out of the 30 women that have declared and announced for this match.
I might be inclined to say Asuka because they planted the seed that, I'm blanking out right now. Kairi Sane's going to put her over and Kairi Sane's going to, take a bullet for her. Asuka going and getting that would be great. Cause Asuka's again, a chaser, and Asuka is the female Drew McIntyre. She's hungry. She's violent. And the more desperate she becomes, the more entertaining she becomes. And I would love to see the physical matchup of her versus Stephanie Becker. I think the two of them in the ring would be phenomenal. I would like to see that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that would make a lot of sense. I'd like to see that match for sure, man. For me, I gotta go with somebody who has not declared for this match as of yet. Bianca Belair is a very intriguing name that, I could easily see her showing up as somebody that has not declared for the match. Maybe at like spot 27 or somewhere in there.
And then she takes that. She goes after Jade Cargill.
She takes that. She goes after Jade. I mean, the shit writes itself.
So what you're saying is you want black on black violence.
Hey, I never said that. Never said that. I will let you go on record as saying that, my friend.
You went right for it. You took the bait. Canceled.
Fuck you.
No. It would make sense. It would be a shocker. And there's a lot of history and storytelling there. Jade Cargill will easily point to the fact that not as much was done to protect her from Naomi.
Right.
And that even though you did turn, you did dump Naomi, you did not do enough to support me, and I had to do it on my own. And look what I accomplished.
Yeah.
So that would be, both ways would be interesting. You know what I'm saying? I want both of those stories. I don't care how we get there. I want both of those stories. I want Asuka versus Stephanie Vaquer, because that would be the best in-ring and storyline leading up. And I want there to be Bianca Belair versus Jade Cargill. But you could also make her a heel.
You could
make her a heel.
I've been clamoring for that for a while, but I think she's got some loose ends in this story, man. I think she's got to come back and, you know, she's got to take care of Jade.
The crowd pops for her, and Jade goes, why the fuck do you cheer for her? I'm the champion. I'm the one who had to overcome so much. I'm the one who got my skull split open by Nia Jax, and you get the cheers.
Yeah. Absolutely, man. Well, so that match should be very interesting, especially, like I said, almost half of the participants have not yet announced as of this very moment. And this match happens on Saturday. So
you're going to get some divas. You're going to get a Bella.
Yep.
You might get you got to get some AEW people. TNA people. Which TNA people show up?
I think you could see Lei Ying Li, one, because she has a connection with WWE, and she's got the strap. At this point, there's almost a precedence since the NXTNA thing's been going that they have the Knockouts champion in the Royal Rumble.
They did it with Mickie James, and my head exploded when you heard Hardcore Country. I was like, oh, because WWE, you know, it's a little awkward. They oftentimes don't know how to address people when they have two names. It'll be interesting to see how they address her. Should she make the entrance?
Yeah.
Would that give her enough cachet to get her way back through NXT?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. I think that obviously if they wanted to bring her back, then they would already have done so. They've got enough of an eye on that product. Now, that's not to say that this won't get her back there in time, but I don't think that will be, you know, I don't think that she's in consideration as of yet.
Okay. Now, I would like to see them project Pete Rose in the ring and then have Kane show up.
Kane? Hell yeah, man.
And
let's turn on
have him eliminated by Gane. I want Gane to show up and eliminate Kane.
Nice. Well played, sir. If you know, you know.
Yeah.
And
hey. Yeah.
let's talk about this men's rumble match, man. Who you got winning the men's rumble this year?
Not Cody Rhodes.
Nope.
This is a tough one. I've had a long time to think about this, and I still can't come up with an answer because there's with so many people getting retired. You know Jericho's going to make his appearance now. That's 1,000% certain, but he's not going to win.
Jericho will definitely be in the match.
He's not going to win, but they'll make it close. They'll have a nail biter with him. It's got to be Braun Breaker. There's too many people involved. Braun Breaker goes, and Who does he go after, though? That I don't. I mean, he goes after CM Punk, I guess. But, yeah, Bron Breakker. And then he beats CM Punk at WrestleMania. And you know, and then he comes out with chain link, you know, headdress and blonde hair. And open glasses. And he goes, big Papa Punk! You know, and then they just see them, you know, injecting steroids right into his freaking arteries and muscles. And
exactly, dude, you know, if that happens, yes, sign me all the way the fuck up for a Bron Breakker win. Seeing New Age Big Papa Pump. Yeah.
God, if he did the costume, my head would explode.
I'm in. However, you know, my pick for the Rumble, I've got to go with the Tribal Chief, man. I've got to go with Roman Reigns. It's the safe choice that I could easily see them running Punk versus Reigns. And I think that's what you do.
Here's the thing with Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns is what he's always said he is. He's not a babyface. He's not a heel, which can lead him to become stale. And right now, the Usos look stale. Yeah. They just look crusty. Jimmy Uso does not have – they never had a great physique, but Jimmy Uso is carrying 20 extra pounds. Jey Uso is looking good, but he doesn't have mic skills. So what do? Do you put him in there and just pair him up with his, you know, cousins and just try to reform the bloodline? Because right now you've got the other one's a heel. How are you going to have a bloodline member, the Samoan Werewolf, over on SmackDown being a heel when the rest of those guys over there in my family tree are heels? So you can't make him a babyface now. You don't have a complete bloodline to put up against anybody. If you put him out there, he's going to be on an island on his own. Pun intended. But he's going to be out there on his own because there's nothing you can pair him up with. So it doesn't make a lot of sense. If you do Bron Breakker, he's fresh.
Yep.
Let Roman Reigns, let there be a Bron Breakker 3 or 4 months, maybe 5. Then have a babyface run. Then Roman Reigns can come in. Whether Roman Reigns becomes the babyface that defeats Bron Breakker with a combined, you know, element of the bloodline, maybe that would work then. I don't know. But I'm not entirely thinking you're wrong, because it just seems like the most WWE-esque thing to do.
Right.
And since the place run by Paul Levesque, they will pull the trigger on Old Faithful.
Yep. That's my thing, dude. I would love for somebody new, like a Bron Breakker or, you know, somebody to win that match. But I don't think they're going to do it. I think they're just going to go with Old Faithful, like you said, and they're going to play it safe.
Here's the thing. He would be over. Let's not say he wouldn't be over.
Oh, yeah.
But Roman Reigns on his own without Paul Heyman has no fucking mic skills.
Nope.
Bron Breakker with Paul Heyman has mic skills and he has Paul Heyman. So you could argue that the safe bet is to go the Paul Heyman route, because Paul Heyman's going to draw viewers. Fucking, you got great. All of those guys have great ability on the mic. Logan Paul is great on the mic. He's like a silver medalist mic skills guy. Yeah. But Bron Breakker's a gold medal micer.
Yeah.
I think he is. I think that the other two, not so much, but who cares? They're you know what? I mean, Bronson Reed does what he needs to do.
Yeah.
Bronson Reed to them, it's like what's his name over there with not enough caffeine. With AEW, where they have you have John Moxley, but who's right under John Moxley?
Claudio.
Claudio Castagnoli is right under John Moxley. That is what Bronson Reed is to that group.
Yeah, he's a good.
He's the lieutenant. He's the man at arms. He's the enforcer.
He's the heavy.
Yeah. He's the heavy. Good. They have a perfect recipe there. And as heels go, they're over. They're heels that I like right now. There's no reason not to pull that trigger. Then you get two or three wins until WrestleMania. 2 months.
Two and a half months.
All right. You get all of that time to have Paul Heyman in the front and center. With Braun Breaker cutting and sick promo after sick promo after sick promo, and then let the bloodline reestablish themselves. Let Jimmy Uso get back into shape. I think he needs to.
Yeah.
I think Jimmy Uso needs to get polished again. Have the Usos come back up. Bring back the bloodline. Sami Zayn, if you're going to put Sami Zayn somewhere, put him with the bloodline. If you're going to shove him down my throat, put him with the bloodline. That's four guys. Bloodline versus my family tree. If that doesn't fucking happen, Triple H, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
It has to happen. That has to happen.
Well, we'll see, man. I don't put too much faith into it, but let's...
Because we want it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Let's pivot. Let's shift over to AEW. Let's talk a bit about Dynamite from this past week, where we saw Swerve Strickland and Kevin Knight put on a banger. But I'll tell you, and I somewhat called it, I said the match that I was looking forward to the most on this show was Kenny Omega and Josh Alexander. Those two went out, absolutely crushed it. And, dude, solid, solid match. Go check it out if you didn't see either of those two matches. The Swerve match, Kevin Knight, very solid as well. And then, obviously, Kenny Omega, Josh Alexander. Rob, what say you about Dynamite?
Samoa Joe versus Speedball Mike Bailey. It was a handicap match, 3-on-1.
Yeah. No shit. Yeah, man. It was almost House of Torture levels of, oh my God, are you serious?
And he kept getting back up.
Yeah.
He hit every one of his finishers and his signature moves on Samoa Joe, did Speedball Mike Bailey.
Yep.
And it took all it took, you know, it took Hook and it took the wrestler, Shibata. To take him out.
Yeah.
And of course, because we all know that Powerhouse Hobbs is now, what is it, Reese Keys?
Man, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it in a minute. Don't worry.
Fucking WWE.
But yeah, since Powerhouse Hobbs had his exodus from AEW, but I'll tell you one thing that they brought back this week. Rob, I gotta get your feelings on it.
Mm.
Technique by Taz made its return to AEW Dynamite. And I know, Rob, I know you love those segments with Taz breaking down
moves.
What did you think, man? Were you happy to see one of your favorite segments make its return?
This is what I want AEW to do. That was perfect. I want AEW to do that little graphic right before the start of the match where they show a slow motion highlight of one of the spots, and they used to put that slow, weird music, and you'd see Riho falling onto Nyla Rose, and then they did it. I want that again. That was cool. It's a simple graphic. Then you can jump into the middle of a match, whatever you want to do. Next thing, they had had Moxley's, wife out there, and they had her trying to do it for a while.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Taz doing it is better because Taz is a fucking wrestler. Taz is one of the best commentators ever. He's really undersold.
Yeah.
He's really under. He plays the heel position, but what he is the combination. If you were to take Jim Ross and combine him with Jerry the King Lawler, you get Taz because Taz has in-ring knowledge. He doesn't bring the energy that Jim Ross does or Jerry the King Lawler, but he plays the heel portion very well. and he gives you excellent in-ring knowledge, and he knows the technical names to every fucking move. It's not even a Juju Katami. The actual Japanese name goes on and on and on and on. It's like 10,000 kanji.
Yeah.
So I love Taz. I love him giving analysis. It makes it more like football.
Yeah, completely
when
agree.
When you do that, it legitimizes wrestling as a sport that it is.
Yeah.
Because
I completely agree.
Every match requires a skill set. Every move requires a skill set. And every move has a particular name and a level of difficulty. So when you have a wrestler talking about how the move is executed and its level of difficulty and putting it back in regards to the person conducting the move, it just brings so much more legitimacy to what you're watching. It's perfect. Keep doing these little things, giving the people what they want, and the camera zooms away. These little details is what make AEW a unique show and something I want to keep watching. WWE doesn't do things like this.
Absolutely not, man. But, you know, let's just finish up here. Obviously, we did see the first match in the feud of the Don Callis family and the Death Riders, and it's a fucking street fight where John Moxley takes a bump onto a board that had barbed wire, thumbtacks, broken glass, you name it. What? Just what?
Moxley bleeds more than Renee every month.
Oh, shit. But, yeah, man, it was, jeez, dude, insane. Obviously, here's my thing with AEW is I would love to have some of the unpredictability back, because as I'm looking at this match lineup, I mean, you can spot your winners all the way up and down this thing, except for one thing. So Swerve, obviously, Kenny Omega, Samoa Joe, Death Riders, but you actually had Megan Bain and Penelope Ford pick up the win over the Timeless Love Bombs. And we're seeing Toni Storm, I don't want to say being reduced to being a mid-card tag team act, but settling into that role. And even though she's not taking those losses, Mina is, you know, eating all the pins. It's interesting to me because you can tell, and Rob, you mentioned earlier how WWE misses the boat with some of their guys and you know, pushing them. It's going to be interesting what happens the next time that Tony is in the rotation to get a push in the women's division, because he's getting a somewhat tepid reaction now, now that she's coming out as part of this tag team.
Right.
She's not nearly getting the massive reaction that she was getting once upon a time. Obviously, that could be a temporary thing. Let's just hope it is.
Real quick, back in the day, Britt Baker was the face of the women.
Yeah.
Now it is Toni Storm. Now there's really no one. It's an open playing field. Chris Statlander being from Mars, and now she's from Long Island, which is alien country. Chris Statlander just is not over. She's not over at all. She's stale. She's boring. She's rudderless. They put her with, you know, with the women's tag team, and that's great.
Yep.
Julie, you know, Willow Nightingale, great. Willow Nightingale is doing everything right. Harley Cameron is doing everything right. Julia Hart, doing everything right. She's doing what she needs to be doing. Isla Donna, how cute. I'm glad to see her working. I'm glad to see that she owned her name. Goes back to what we always say about WWE. If you own your own name, you're fucked.
Yep.
Hangman Adam Page with the multiple buckshot lariats. Yay, and his old ring gear. Yay. Claudio Castagnoli, he's a savage. He's a fucking savage.
Hell yeah. Protus Shida. Dude.
Love it.
Dude. The fucking forearm strike that Billy Gunn got hit with in this match from Takeshita. Oh my God. Holy fucking shit. I don't know if I've ever heard as loud of a smack in my life. Here's See out this clip on social media. It's AEW did post it to their socials page. Holy shit. Just unbelievable.
Billy Gunn is a freak of nature.
Absolutely.
As he does. He's pushing 60.
Yeah.
He looks goddamn amazing. But more to the point, they said that he is part of the Bang Bang Gang now, unless I heard incorrectly. Yeah. So that's fucking great.
Yeah. They very quietly just added him to the fold.
Just do it.
Yeah.
Guns up. They keep going, guns up. He did the suck it. Just do it. He took beatings and he no-selled.
Yep.
He no-selled the shit out of Protoshida.
Yep.
That was, oh my God, the Chopsy guy just like bounced. Whoa, I love it. He just, Proto Star, and he bounced right off Billy Gunn's chest. I was like, yeah.
Dude, the young guys bumped like a motherfucker for Billy Gunn. They made him look like $1 million, and in return, he made them look solid too. When the offense went their way.
By the way, go watch WWE, the behind the scenes shit they got. Look at fucking Kip James. Jesse James. He looks like a blob now. Meanwhile, this dude, minus his hairline being slightly back, is if I had to critique him, because that's a terrible picture of him, his hair looks way better than that picture.
Oh, yeah.
That's the worst I could say about Billy Gunn is they did him dirty with the picture.
Absolutely.
That was but whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So you had mentioned that Claudio Castagnoli was a machine. Yeah. He got the decisive victory in the main event, and they decided to take the CMLL tradition very seriously. They had Tony Khan be in the middle of the ring to present the belt. And as is the case with every CMLL World Heavyweight Championship match, each guy had a second that came to the ring with them with a towel in tow to act as a corner man. So, I mean, again, say whatever you will about Tony Khan, but the guy respects history. He respects the people that came before and the traditions that came before. While also trying to put a new spin on pro wrestling. So you can't go wrong. And also, I've got to say this, man, and in a roster that is full of 200 minus pound people, when you put together a mean man tag team like Davis and Doyle, and you let them just wreck shop, dude, I love the act. And all that they have to do is just be 80s heels. Like, be 80s hoss heels.
They are something from nothing.
Yeah.
But you have them beating essentially indie jobbers.
Absolutely you do.
And
absolutely
that's fine to start with. Do I think they're going to run through the rosters? The roster, sure. Sure.
That four-way match. I mean, when they went over, that was pretty decisive, man. They are looking at building this team.
I don't know what to think about them yet. They look good, but you know what they look like? They look like two Wardlows.
That's fine.
They look like two Wardlows. They've got Don Callis behind them, which is basically, I would like to say it's all you need, but we'll see. Yeah. We'll see. Is Davis a good partner for him? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Good combination. I don't know. Longevity with anyone who just does all heavy route doesn't last too long in AEW. Even if you put a belt on him, it doesn't last long.
Well, the thing is, they're different in that respect. Because, again, that's why the Hurt Syndicate worked, obviously, when they first came in as well. They didn't look like any of the other tag teams on the roster. And I think, yes, these two guys are They wear black trunks. They don't talk because Don does the talking for them outside of them yelling. I mean, dude, it works because
it looks like they beat up the night managers at a Hot Topic.
They don't have a roster full of these guys.
Yeah.
That's why I think it works so well. You know, you mentioned the TBS championship, Willow Nightingale and Julia Hart, a solid match, but nothing really to write home about. I'll tell you, dude, Andrade, this Resident gimmick.
Magnus.
And so evidently the lady that was seated front row that he took a photo with is indie worker Sophia Savon. She has done work for AEW in the past, extra work, and as enhancement talent. So she is a worker. I would not be surprised if this is a thing that they bring her in along with Andrade. It makes sense.
He did the whole Garza routine where he strips off his pants and he, oh no, my clothes. Oh, look, I've got trunks on underneath. And it's like, all right. He's doing every gimmick he can. Why would he need a ring valet if he's part of the Don Callis family?
Dude, it adds to the gimmick, man. It adds to the gimmick. But elsewhere on this show, we did get another vignette with the Rascals as well. And we found out that it's going to be Crew, which is Action Andretti and Leo Rush, taking on Zachary Wentz and Desmond Xavier, with Myron Reed being that third wheel. And we can kind of see how this shit's going to go, man. It's it's going to be interesting, but
they're going to win.
Myron, that's going to be a solid tag match.
Oh yeah. Still pissed. I'm going to be forever salty because you could have had two tag teams. You could have had Trey Miguel go with Myron Reed and they go in two different directions. That would have been a logjam to have four guys like that, but whatever. It was good. They're the Rascals.
Yeah.
They don't miss a beat. As long as you have the core three, Myron to me is always an outsider. Yeah. As long as you have the core three, they will be able to just jump right in and perform like they should.
Yeah. And, you know, we did also see a vignette. I wish AEW would do more of this on Collision, where Alex Windsor and Jamie Hayter are going to be making a tag team. Literally, they're not doing shit anywhere else. They're not doing shit anywhere else. And so they put them together. Fuck it. Why not?
Yeah.
Put some matching gear with them. Yeah. Make people give a shit. And literally, they're not doing anything right now. They're not doing anything. So this just makes sense.
My brain is trying to process this one. Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing will come of it.
That's the thing. They got to make you give a shit. They got to make you give a shit. But one other interesting tidbit was that Bishop Dyer, a.k.a. Baron Corbin, competed in an 8-man tag match before Dynamite this week, which, in case you're unaware, Dynamite and Collision were recorded right after one another. So that's because of the weather that's been going crazy. They were unable to have the live Collision in Texas because of the snowstorm. So they did it right after Dynamite. And so thus they needed some additional workers for dark matches. Bishop Dyer, and according to everybody on hand, they were pleased with what he did. So I don't know. Could we see Baron Corbin, the former Baron Corbin in AEW?
No. He'll be in Ring of Honor.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. And, you know, Rob, you had mentioned this guy. Well, we got the news that Trey Miguel signed with TNA. So thankfully, he did land on his feet. The call come from WBD that his AEW contract is null and void. Thankfully, TNA brought him back with open arms. I completely agree. Completely agree. But let's talk a little bit about some other personnel news. And, you know, we talked about Myron Reed. His fiance, Killer Kelly, was backstage at AEW Maximum Carnage as well.
And now he is cool.
See, there you go. So, yep, Killer Kelly was backstage. Obviously, if Tony would want to bring her in, that would be a net positive for the AEW women's division, given her experience and where she's been. And she wasn't the only one. What?
Look at the look on her face. She's like, this guy's going to tear me up later.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Look at that. Get me someone that looks at you the way Killer Kelly looks at Myron Reed.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
She's just locked. It's just like, and he's just like, yeah, once I put this blunt down, I finished playing PlayStation, I'm going to wreck that ass.
She was not the only one backstage, though, as Priscilla Kelly, the former Gigi Dolan, was also backstage this week. So, yeah, this might just be red herrings.
Kelly sisters.
We could see, some things happen. But, yeah, it could be interesting stuff ahead for sure in AEW. Let's continue talking about personnel news. And, yes, there you have it, Rob. Powerhouse Hobbs' name has been changed to Royce Keyes.
WWE? Hold on.
We thought it was going to be Big Willie Hobbs. No, it's even worse.
The coolest name for a female wrestler, to me, one of the coolest names was Mariah May. Now, I know. We've seen Seth Rollins talk about this. They want to own you. So you got to come up with a new name. So obviously these guys sit there and come up with a new name. I worked in radio. My name is Rob Bosleri. My grandfather's name was William. So I called myself, and my middle name is Joseph. I called myself R.J. Williams. It's a very basic radio sounding name. Royce Keyes. Lexi's King. Blake, whatever the fuck her name is.
Blake Monroe.
Frankie Monet. These are terrible goddamn names. Ricky Starks became Ricky Saints. I would have just called it Ricky Saint, but I get it. He tried to keep the same sound, and that was okay. That was a simple crossover. These names are terrible. That's how you start with a shitty name.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing that it. So what is he going to have a finish or a tagline of, you know, that it's going to have
powerhouse.
Oh, shit. Actually. Oh, it's got to have something involving Royce. It'll have Royce and Rolls in it. So what you going to do when Royce rolls over you? There you go. That's it. That's it. It's got WWE all over it.
That's what hell is for a wrestling fan, is probably having to watch all these indie guys or AEW guys go over, and they just record all the times when they try to pick out new names.
Yep.
And that's hell. We have to listen to them come up with these shitty names.
You know, You know what kills me is that
Aleister Black, Malachi Black. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Branding has, you know, it's exponential in what it can do for you. And having the right name is such a key thing. And whether it's, you know, calling yourself Powerhouse Hobbs, whether, you know, whatever it is, whether it's Royce Keyes, you got to get your branding down. And that, if I've ever learned that from anybody, wait, I think we might have somebody with us that can talk a bit about a successful branding and a successful name. Wait, yeah.
Come to me first, you know. I want to address you, Mr. Hobbs-Keys. You know, the Trump name is the biggest and biggest. It's the biggest and greatest. It's the most beloved name of all names, quite honestly. People all across the world go, Trump card, which, by the way, if you say Trump card, you have to pay me 10 cents royalty. You see how good that is? See how good that is? Donald Trump Plaza. Donald Trump Tower. Look at that. Trump Tower. Tower. Let's think about this right now. Tim Towers. Think about that. Tom Towers. Look at that. See? Look at that. Tom Towers. And then you go, oh, my God, it's Tom Towers. Now, when you use that, when you go up to the main roster, you're going to owe me 10 cents every time you use it. But what's better? Royce Keyes. Okay, he's done a key of cocaine. He's done a bump. People start thinking of Hunter Biden. Say terrible, terrible. But if you hear Tom Towers is coming, Tim Towers, Terror Towers. Oh, look at that. Man, that's a good name. He's big. He's scary. It's Tom Towers. Okay, look at that. And you know what? Some people said he could even be their uncle. But Tom Towers, we love it. Tom Towers, such a good name, such a scary name. Tim Pool, Key and Peele, I don't know. Some of these names are shit. Mariah May went to Blake Monroe. Think, what famous Blakes do you know? Blake Shelton. So what do you say now? She's got a cock and she plays country music? Blake's a man's name. It's a man, baby. They gave her a, and then the other one, okay? What was it? La Manor? What was not La Manor, Mary? It was, she's on Tits and Ass. She was Taya Valkyrie. Taya Valkyrie. And she came out and she had her big Tayas on. And then she became another one, Frankie Monet. She had a dude's name. That's what they do, okay? They make them trans athletes. And we don't like trans athletes, okay? I'm hereby banning any women or men from having trans names, okay? Even Royce. Excuse me, Mr. Fuzzy Slippers. I don't think so. Mr. Royce Impact. DJ Impacted. That's what his name is, DJ Impacted, because he's been impacted a lot. Ooh. And he's been calling up Morgan & Morgan Law Firm, something about fuzzy slippers and open-toed sandals. There is a gag order on Matt Michaels from playing any music recording slippers and sandals. So yep. Sad. So very sad.
You heard it here first. All right, so let's take a quick social media dump. And, this just adds a little bit of fuel to the fire. If you can't see the image on your screen, it is a post from Shinsuke Nakamura's Instagram account. It says, during last year's Australia tour at a house show in Melbourne, blah, 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 he had a conversation with AJ Styles. And he asked him point blank, when are you going to retire? He answered, the Royal Rumble. I've already decided. Damn.
Oh.
So this was during the Melbourne, Australia tour that WWE had last year. Shall see, man.
All right.
Yeah. Better make sure that you check out that Gunther match. But also chiming in was arguably the greatest of all time, John Cena, posting a picture of AJ Styles with the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship doing the Bullet Club salute in his Bullet Club shirt. Yeah, man, right there in Japan. Awesome, awesome stuff. And then he's not the only one leaving WWE. Tommaso Ciampa. This news broke about a week ago. This broke on the 21st of January. So he spells this out that his contract with WWE will come to an end. He is not re-signing with WWE, and he is going to be accepting bookings. And the thing with Ciampa is because he is not being fired or terminated, his contract expires when it expires, and he will not have a non-compete clause. So wherever he's going to go, he could show up immediately after the end of his WWE run.
TNA, 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 TNA. Or, you know, just he would work out so well there.
You want him to go to TNA?
Yeah, why not? I mean, where else would you put him? If you had a dream,
that's the best location for him. Obviously, you know, he has history with a lot of the people in AEW, and he could very well make his way there. But I think his skill set would be better suited with TNA. So I would agree.
At TNA, he becomes a big star,
and in TNA, AEW, he becomes a world champion.
Oh yes,
TNA, he becomes a world champion.
Yeah.
Let's get some eye candy. Here you go, Rob. You got Jade Cargill looking great in a bathing suit.
That looks like AI, but I'll take it.
Hey, you know what?
Who cares?
Oh. Speaking of bathing suits, Liv and Bailey. Yeah, you gotta love that, man.
That's a real one. Yep.
That is a real image. That is a real image. Mina and her Shirakawas.
Oh man.
Buddy.
This is like, oh my God.
Lord have mercy.
Dear Lord.
Speaking of AEW, Queen Aminata looking great. Looking great. Former WWE and NXT star Electra Lopez. Carissa Rivera. Yeah, man. Smoking hot.
What'd you say?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I'm gonna have Sol Ruka.
We got Sol Ruka. And then last but most certainly not least, Rob, I had to go into the vaults for this one. And I got this one just for you.
I'm not Matt Michaels head on some hot chick.
I hope you appreciate this, Rob. Marina Shafir.
Oh wow.
There you go. Not looking like she's going to whoop your ass.
There's just something like about her. I don't know. She's hot. It's just like there a more go. Natural, not sloppy. Like Roderick Strong. Oh my God. Like she must be like choking him during sex. Like one of the, she's like that chick. Like they're doing like hardcore shit.
For sure.
Or they do nothing. It's either they're doing hardcore shit or they're just Netflix and chill.
Yeah.
One of the two, or both.
Yeah, there you go, man. Absolutely. So, you know, as we start to wind down, Rob, why don't you tell the good folks where they can interact with you on social media, where they can see you, try to make them laugh, and maybe where they can get a cameo.
Rob at Vegas Trump Guy for Instagram and TikTok. Yay. Now, let's talk a little business. On Sunday, if you want to see me perform, we have one of the members of the Vegas Four Horsemen of Comedy, Sundays at the Neighborhood Bar at the corner of Jones and Charleston, which is very much the west side in Las Vegas. Sunday horseplay, yay. Wednesday night. There typically is a horseman show at 11 o'clock at the Beach House in Henderson. However, on February the 4th, there will be a new series of comedy shows. It will be a weekly show at 8 p.m., and this is going to be at the Vintage Vegas Lounge. And you're going to be able to see. I got it. You know, I'm going to, in the future, I'll have the picture ready to go next week. Remind me. Go to Robin Vegas Trump Guy, see all the news. Our headliner is going to be Adam Dominguez. Our feature is going to be Randall Crabmead Thompson, and your four horsemen of comedy, myself, Mike Stiggs with the beautiful Stella, and Khalil Mack. Comedy Blast. That is going to be on Wednesday the 4th at 8 p.m. It's in Main Street. You want to grab a bite? There's every type of restaurant under the sun. Get there at around 7. Doors open at 7:30 for that event. It is one of the coolest places at Vintage Vegas, which is at 1227 South Main Street. Take the Strat, go down Main Street. Or take Charleston and take one of the back roads and cross over to Colorado and Main Street. There's parking there by Colorado and Main Street, and there's available places right out in front of Vintage.
Hell yeah, man. Absolutely. Go see Rob live. The guy, obviously, he makes you laugh every week on this show. Just go out.
I heard the president will be there.
Really?
Yes, the president will be in attendance for this first Vintage comedy showcase.
I will be dipped in shit. Damn. There you go, guys.
President Trump will be making an appearance.
President Trump making an appearance at the first show on the 4th of February. Make sure you go check that out. And
if you can't make it because of certain wrestling obligations, we'll have a show on the 11th.
Absolutely.
And that will be Diaz Mackey as your headliner with Dan Hall as your feature, myself, Jay Monet, and probably Cleo Macro, Lex Las Vegas, or Mike Stiggs again with Stella. We'll be on that lineup.
Perfect. All right, guys. There you have it. And also, I just want to say thank you to everybody for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. And also, a very special thank you to all the brave men and women serving this country, whether you're doing it on lands, foreign or domestic. Thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. And last but not least, repsports.com, REPPsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, and general energy needs. Repsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout. Save yourself 10%. There you go, man. Rob, we did it, brother. Yet again, I want to also give best wishes to our brother, Matt Michaels. Hopefully you feel well soon, bro. And in no time, we will be reunited. And until then, you guys.
Did any of you have a great time tonight?
With that, everybody, thank you for hanging out. We will we'll do it all again next week. Till then, happy wrestling.
Rolling up the strip under neon lights. Podcast mics glowing in the desert nights. Matt and Michael's leading with the swagger tights. Sin City Steve right by his side. All right. Rob Butcher, Larry dropping truths, no fear. Broadcasting stories, make it loud and clear. From the Fremont edges to the Bellagio sphere. These bad boys rule, let me make that clear. Vegas bad boys, tearing up the scene.
To Matt Michaels and the Vegas Boys of Podcasting, this is John Cena saying thank you so much.